kiss your lips a thousand times, and more times than I can count. I have called you mine. You have stood by me in my
life. From New York City, it's the Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Nice to have you with us today. We have a lot in the way of health and healing. We're going to look at yoga and how it can boost your brain function. And another look by Dr. Kelly Brogan, medical doctor, on birth control side effects, something that is virtually never discussed in our society. And it should be, because there's some really serious side effects. Then we're going to take a look at the latest science that shows the chemical toxins in utero unmistakably linked to autism. Yet we were told there is no connection. There is. We'll prove it. Also today we'll be looking at the Dean of Brain Cancer Survey weighs in that children face the highest health risks from cell phones. So we'll give you that insight. Plus, we'll also be looking at nutrients that can slow down and reverse the aging process, help prevent cancer. And good news, because of all the GMO activism, it's led to Kellogg's decreased sales for the fifth consecutive quarter. So people being aware of how bad corn and soy are, if they're GMO'd, are not buying them. Also, we have an epidemic of antibiotic use in children in the United States, toddlers and infants, and babies. That's not good because, according to the University of British Columbia, that leads to altered immunity long-term, and a lot more on health and healing. From our environmental segment today, we have many different things to discuss, including we're going to look at a CDC whistleblower reveals widespread manipulation of scientific data and top-down pressure on CD scientists to support the fraudulent application of government policies on vaccine safety. This person is saying that he is a scientist at the CDC and that they were pressured to hide bad results, to engage in cover-up. And he lists the people who engage in that cover-up. We'll reveal this as the first media source to establish this. My hope is to have him on the air in the very near future. Also, methane blowholes, ice-free Arctic cruises, peak water. The climate crisis is deepening. Separately from Terra Daily, the world's primary forests are on the brink. And we have a little newsmaker segment today. As people know, I do not support or endorse any given candidate. Instead, we provide a forum for those candidates who are not given a forum in the mainstream media. Jill Stein, Rocky Anderson, Dennis Kucinich, when he was running as an independent, and Ron Paul, the same. I do the same thing with every single person. I don't allow them to come on and pontificate or to spin. I simply ask them yes or no questions on important issues. Gives us a chance to see what side of an issue they're going to come down on. So we'll be doing that today with Randy Credico, who is running for governor of New York, because otherwise it's just another term for Governor Cuomo, and most people are not even aware of how he has promised one thing and come out on the other side of it. So we'll hear from him. Also tell you how much it costs to raise a child today. I don't think time will permit for more, but John Oliver did a piece on what is happening in Missouri and the police state, and I watched it, and it was brilliant. And we'll try to get that in as well. Let's begin. Most of the people you see doing yoga are young or youngish, and generally in very good shape. But the latest study shows that the people who could really benefit are older people. In fact, According to the Journals of Gerontology series, they have said that 8 weeks of hatha yoga intervention on executive function in older adults is very beneficial. Here's what they say. Quote, practicing hatha yoga 3 times a week for 8 weeks improves sedentary adult life performance on cognitive tasks that are relevant to everyday life. The people were 55 to 79 years of age, and at the end of the 8 weeks, the yoga group was speedier, more accurate on tests of information recall, mental flexibility, and task switching than it had been before the intervention. The stretching and toning group saw no significant change in cognitive performance over time. The differences seen between the groups were not the result of differences in age and gender and social status or other demographic. It was in the yoga itself. Now, why? Because hatha yoga is an ancient spiritual practice. It involves meditation and focused breathing while an individual moves through a series of stylized postures. And that's the big difference. It requires you to focus your energy, your consciousness, and moving through the poses and controlling the body and breathing at a steady rate. It's possible that this focus on one's body and mind and breath during yoga practice may have generalized the situations outside of yoga classes, resulting in improved ability to sustain attention. So the older you are, the more benefit you'll gain from yoga. I can remember doing a series of women's health programs when I first got on WMCA radio, and before that on WHBI, which was my first radio program. And the women who were coming on the program were all saying how dangerous birth control was and that it should be at the top of the feminist agenda to get women to be aware of this danger. Unfortunately, you wouldn't know that anyone has learned anything based upon the lack of information that is available today. Well, Dr. Kelly Brogan, medical doctor, has some very specific insights on this. Here's what she says. Quote, it was early in my actualization as a feminist-minded, righteous post-adolescent that I began to think of birth control as a woman's right. It would be years before I would learn about the nuanced considerations of tacit permissiveness towards reckless, unprotected sex, the wholesale delegation of contraception to the female counterpart, and the fundamental divorce of a woman from the key feedback system that fire up her reproductive age vitality. These concerns would begin to color my perception of this gift from pharma, well before I began to learn about functional biochemical concerns surrounding the metabolism of synthetic hormones. With over 100 million women using this form of hormonal suppression worldwide, I have to wonder how many of them have any exposure to information about the pill's subtle but important side effects to their systems, not to mention the consensus risks of thromboembolism, hypertension, cerebrovascular events, gallstones, and cancer. As notorious as our hormones are for wreaking havoc, they're what pop us into high relief. They excite us, move us, drive us, and enliven us. The highly nonlinear relationship between sex hormones, thyroid hormones, adrenal hormones, is like the magic of 3D glasses. If you cover one lens, things just don't look as exciting. When patients come to me with complaints of low libido, lower flat mood, weight gain, hair loss, cloudy thinking, one of my first questions is, are you on the pill? When they come complaining about premenstrual irritability, insomnia, tearfulness, bloating, and breast tenderness, requesting that I sanction beginning a course of oral contraception and perhaps an antidepressant, the one-size-fits-all cure of all psychiatrists and gynecologists nationwide, my first comment is, there's a better way. The signs of hormonal imbalance are often quickly dismissed as a problem too complex to rectify from its source. In my practice, I first look at diagnostics to better personalize dietary recommendations, targeted nutritional interventions, and herbal options to promote the body's own drive towards harmony. If it's not enough to celebrate their right to an optimally functioning hormonal system, and they also want to preserve their right to have a fertilized egg, then I recommend a non-hormonal IUD, nifty gadgets like the Pearly, or the good old-fashioned condom. Why is it that I think rendering a woman a two-dimensional version of her hormonal self is such a big deal? Simply because if she's in my office, she is someone who has struggled with mood and anxiety, and the last thing she should be doing is stacking the cards against her recovery with synthetic hormones and the pharmacologic burden they bring. Since the 1960s, there has been controversy around the potential mood effects of oral contraceptives, but over 50 years of their use has not settled the question. There is acknowledgement, however, that depression is the most common reason for discontinuation of use. I don't need pilot studies that demonstrate women using the combined oral contraceptive pill were significantly more depressed than a matched group who were not to persuade me, because I see it firsthand, most notably in those who began contraception postpartum. The data overall is comprised of inconsistent assessments of mood pathology across the cycle and between groups, and often by study design, but suggests that there is likely a subset of women for whom oral contraceptives represent a major risk factor for depression and mood disturbances. Who might these women be? From 13 prospective trials, it appears they have a personal or family psychiatric history, one that has been exacerbated by pregnancy or postpartum or premenstrual periods. More specifically, women with premenstrual mood symptoms prior to use experience more adverse effects with lower progestin dosages. Could these side effects be just coincidental? Synthetic hormones, like those in combined oral contraceptives, increase thyroid and sex hormone-binding globulin, effectively decreasing the available testosterone and thyroid hormone in circulation, which can render you nun-like libido and functionally hyperthyroid or depressed, constipated, overweight, cloudy, with dry skin and hair. A randomized open-label 9-week trial of 3 forms of hormonal contraception found that they all increased all of this. Oral contraception promotes oxidative stress. Stress is often defined as the inability to cope with demands, and oxidative stress is a destructive force in the body perpetrated by reactive oxygen species that outnumber available antioxidant enzymes and factors. Oral contraceptives deplete vitamins and minerals and antioxidants as measured by activity of the coenzyme Q10, vitamin E, total antioxidant activity. More specifically, they've acknowledged that these oral contraceptives deplete vitamin B6, a cofactor for the production of serotonin and GABA, as well as zinc, selenium, phosphorus, and magnesium, and that was in a cross-sectional randomized study. So there you have it. All these reasons why you should consider the dangers of oral contraceptives, the pill. Green tea, found again to validate its fight against cancer. In fact, in matters of health and disease prevention, according to Natural News, few things strike as much fear as does ignite a diagnosis of cancer. And this is especially true in the case of pancreatic cancer, particularly aggressive form of the disease. It has a survival rate of less than 5% after 5 years from diagnosis. Extensive research studies over the past 20 years have clearly shown that many forms of cancer can be prevented, as we've discussed many times on this program, simply by getting rid of the sugar, refined carbohydrates, highly acidic food, hydrogenated oils, trans fats. And in the case of pancreatic cancer, all of these end up lowering your body's immune system and making you more susceptible. And also, if you're diabetic, you're more susceptible. In addition to diet, there is ever-growing body of work that demonstrates how natural compounds, the extracts, including curcumin, resveratrol, and EGCG from green tea, can specifically target cancer cells to increase oxygenation and restrict blood flow and help prevent, even treat, certain forms of cancer. Research team from Los Angeles Biomedical Research Institute has released the results of their work in the journal Metabolomics, revealing how an active component of green tea disrupts the metabolism of cancer cells in pancreatic cancer and offers an explanation for its effect on reducing the risk of cancer and slowing its progression. Now, this audience knows that EGCG, the active ingredients, are extremely powerful and all natural. There's no side effects. And what would help disrupt tumor progression, even help it reverse tumor progression, could also help prevent tumors in the first place. There are multiple autism support groups around the country. A few of them believe in holistic, natural approaches. Others believe that it should be strictly pharmaceuticals. Interesting that the difference primarily between the two groups is the amount of money that the head of the groups receive for their front organizations from Big Pharma. Big Pharma saw an epidemic of autism, which I believe it helped create through its vaccines, and then started to support front groups so that hundreds of thousands of parents would join these front groups. But the reaction is when you say that it's not genetic, because there is no such thing and it's not possible to have a genetic epidemic, what you have instead is environmental toxins. Vaccines are but one source of environmental toxins. This is the latest. Researchers from the University of Chicago have just revealed the smoking gun at the root of autism in a new study published in the journal PLOS Compunctial Biology. And they say that without doubt, autism and intellectual disability are linked to toxin exposure while a baby is still being formed in the mother's womb. A professor of genetic medicine and human genetics at the University of Chicago says, quote, essentially what happens is during pregnancy, there are certain sensitive periods where the fetus is very vulnerable to a range of small molecules, from things like plasticizers, prescription drugs, environmental pesticides, and other things. Some of these small molecules essentially alter normal development. Autism appears to be strongly correlated with rate of congenital malformations of the genitals in males across the country. This gives an indicator of environmental load, and the effect is surprisingly strong. The strongest predictors of autism were associated with environment, congenital malformations on the reproductive system in males, end quote. Now, the environmental toxin analyzed were from more than 2,100 areas around the country, and what they found was that fetuses, especially male fetuses, are profoundly affected by environmental toxins, lead, pharmaceutical medications, pesticides, mercury, and other synthetic molecules. And Dr. Harbutt, Providence St. John environmental medicine expert, said, quote, it is really a very significant study and should trigger the medical community, the scientific community, and the government looking at this especially interesting avenue for the prevention of autism. We know that one of the ways to show that there is a problem with pollution is to show through the presence of these reproductive defects. And we know that there is a relationship between the presence of these defects and the presence of autism-related disorders. Now, look at the ones they mention. Mercury, there's your vaccines. Pesticides, there's your commercially eaten food. Pharmaceuticals, medications, and those could be vaccines to the mother. Mercury in her teeth, mercury in the fish that she eats. Lead, also, lead in the cans of food like canned tuna or in tuna itself, high levels of mercury. And background smoke, cadmium. So when you look at how much synthetics get into a person's body and accumulate, the more overweight a person, the more fat they have, the more toxins are lodged in their fat. When a woman becomes pregnant, all of the maternal nutrients that are necessary for the development of the fetus go through that placenta. And when in one study they found very little mercury in the mother's blood, when they looked at the placenta later, it was in the placenta, which means it was feeding the fetus. So imagine the more toxic the mother, the more likely some form of brain maladaptation or bad development. And then on top of that, you take a brand new baby that has absolutely no immune system, except what the mother has. It has no bacteria in its gut. And instead of having a healthy mother with a clean body that is breastfeeding and building natural immunity, you have a sick mother who's loaded with toxins and a sick baby, and especially in some of the reactions of the cytotoxins because of a mother's drinking artificial sweetened beverages. And these beverages, artificial sweeteners, are known to be excitotoxic and disrupt neurons in the brain. And so you have a baby that's born, maybe seemingly all right when you look at it, but you find out that it's a very slow learner, doesn't grasp words, doesn't walk at the same rate. Not that it doesn't walk and not that it doesn't speak, but everything is delayed. That's almost always going to be a kid that's going to be given a psychiatric diagnosis and put on psychiatric meds at some point. We just are not being honest. And if we were honest, we would tell people that it is important, absolutely essential, that we inform anyone, a couple or a single person choosing to have a child, you have to detoxify and cleanse the system. And that takes a while. Finally, from Medscape Medical News, from Roxanne Nelson, the potential harm from microwave radiation emitted by wireless devices, particularly for children and unborn babies, is the highest of a new review, highlight of a new review. And then it goes into the Journal of Microscopy and Ultrastructure. And the authors reviewed the scientific literature showing that children's bodies face the highest health risk, far more than adults. They evaluated peer review cell phone exposure epidemiology, and along with cell phone data. And that's what they said. You're going to end up hurting your brain, hurting your brain's metabolism. So, and one more study, and there's a whole lot of studies out there. There's at least 35 different studies I know of that show you the dangers of cell phones. And yet, we're not paying attention. And a pregnant woman who keeps a cell phone anywhere near the fetus, that's pulsing right in there, and that can cause a problem. And finally, good news that Kellogg's company has decreased its sales. North American sales are down 3.7%. That's a lot. Internal operating profits down 8.7%. And that's because more people don't like the idea of genetically engineered cereal. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Nice to have you with us, everyone. We have a lot to share today. The average cost of raising a child. We're going to deal with the environmental issues, a whistleblower coming forward from the CDC, and the CDC still doesn't know who the whistleblower is. And saying from top to bottom at the CDC, it is all corrupt. And we'll give you specifics on that. And peak water around the world, what's going on there, and here in the United States as well. But first, let's say hello in our newsmaker segment. And anyone else running as a legitimate candidate who has progressive ideals that would like to share them, so at least they become known to this audience, which is a worldwide audience, you can contact Richard Gale, our producer. In our studio in New York City is Randy Credico. Nice to have you with us, Randy.
Hey, it's really a pleasure. Thank you very much, Gary, for having me on.
And Randy is running for governor of New York State. And outside of that, there's really no one in contention to Governor Cuomo.
In the Democratic primary, yes.
That's what I'm talking about. All right, Randy, I'm going to ask you a series of statements. All I want you to do is say yes or no to them, all right?
Okay.
Do you support a national effort to reinstate the Glass-Steagall Act?
Yes.
Okay. That would separate the savings and loan banking from speculative investment banking. And a governor can do that, by the way, because a governor can make that an issue, especially in the state where Wall Street is concerned. It sends a statement to the whole country. Do you support a ban on trading in commodities that are necessary for life, such as ban all trading for profit for food, water?
Absolutely.
Okay. I propose a 2% tax on all Wall Street transactions and repeal any laws that permit banks to receive a rebate on these taxes. Yes or no?
Yes.
That would give us, by the way, almost $1 trillion in extra income a year. Close all loopholes on the super rich and on all corporations.
Yes.
Create a public state banking system similar to North Dakota, which was not as vulnerable to insolvency as other private banks during the 2008 meltdown.
Yes.
Raise New York State's minimum wage to $15 an hour.
At a very minimum, 15,
yeah,
yes.
I'm talking minimum.
I know. Yes, yes.
Strengthen prosecution of bankers, corporate executives, and politicians who engage in criminal activity.
Yes.
Work with the international legal tribunes to establish that if any of the people who are responsible for crimes against humanity come into New York State, they would be arrested and then for these crimes against humanity.
Yes.
That means virtually all former presidents. Declare a moratorium on all home foreclosures in New York State.
Yes.
Stop all stop and frisk policies in New York.
Yes.
Stop all arrest for marijuana possession.
Yes.
Free all people who are in Rikers or other jails. Well, Rikers actually not a jail unto itself, but where people have been arrested for these crimes and in prison, release them for if they've committed a non-violent crime.
Yes.
Provide free college and manual skills training in New York to New Yorkers.
Yes.
Forgive all New York student loan late fees and cap interest rates at 0%.
Yes.
Support any national effort to repeal Bush's bankruptcy law revisions that prevent student loan holders from declaring bankruptcy.
Yes.
Invest in public schools and in public school teachers.
Yes.
Support a statewide food lunch program for school children that is based upon proven nutrition science and not the junk science and the garbage food they're currently fed by vendors.
Yes.
Create a statewide food program to see that hungry children, without exception, in New York are fed.
Yes.
Do not arrest any more homeless people simply because they're homeless.
Yes.
De-ghettoize New York's program of food distribution, bypassing corporations and working directly within communities.
Yes.
Create a program for New York's conservation and sustainable environmental future, employing youth to plant trees, hedgerows, and conservation projects, and using skilled workers to repair bridges, levees, waterways, and gas mains.
Yes.
Close down Indian Point nuclear power facility.
Yes.
Shift to geothermal, solar, and wind energy.
Yes.
Pass laws to hold police accountable for criminal acts, current and past, and with the full statute of the law as would apply to others who commit acts of murder and other criminal acts of unwarranted aggression.
Yes.
Conduct a review of state and city law enforcement relations with U.S. military and Homeland Security, and bar all Homeland Security for illegal spying, eavesdropping on any New Yorkers.
A very loud yes.
Reduce or stop unwanted state subsidies to private industries, particularly the private prison industry. Agricultural land subsidies to landowners whose lands are not producing food.
Yes.
Increase support and state subsidies for those who engage in organic, sustainable agricultural methods.
Yes.
Support mandatory labeling of food products with genetically modified ingredients.
Yes.
Ban all gas hydrofracking.
Yes.
Allow all corporations that cannot be maintained to go through structured bankruptcy instead of a bailout.
Yes.
Reform New York's campaign and election laws to avoid huge cash bonuses to candidates.
Yes.
Ban all lobbying by corporations from New York state offices.
Yes.
Permit a philosophical status for vaccine exemption for children. Ban any moves to mandate the human papillomavirus vaccine and mandatory flu vaccines for healthcare workers.
Yes.
Create a New York State preventative health program.
Yes.
Create a single-payer health program similar to what Vermont is trying to institute and conduct a thorough review of the adverse effects of Obamacare on New York citizens and small businesses.
Yes.
For New York City, cut bus, subway, and bridge and tunnel fees in half.
Yes.
Open up tent cities and halfway houses, camps for returning veterans to New York State with full, holistic, compassionate care so they can be reunited with their families without going straight back with post-traumatic stress disorder.
Yes.
Offer amnesty to immigrants living in New York and their children.
Yes.
Enable New York City and other larger New York cities such as Buffalo or New York City such as Buffalo and Rochester more autonomy from the financial and political control of Albany over these cities' local politics and economies.
Yes.
I want to thank you, Randy. That's it.
Thank you very much,
Gary. Now we know where Randy Credico, Democrat, running for governor of New York, stands on what I consider the important issues. And so at least you now have this audience know your position, Randy.
Thank you very much, Gary.
Randy Credico, Democrat for governor against Cuomo. I'm Gary Knoll. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. A lot more to come, but we're going to take a moment now, since the Progressive Radio Network has no show is interrupted, has ever been interrupted, to do spots. I'm the only one who takes a little time, much as I do on WBAI and our other sister stations that I help raise money, and I offer a premium. And today's premium, which all goes to this station, is by some measure, the most perfect water filtration system in existence. This is the Gary Knoll Twin Slim Water Filter. And there's a huge savings. The whole system is only $279 plus handling. Why would you want this filtration system? There are a lot out there, and a lot of good ones out there. Well, the purpose of the system is to remove a wide range of toxic contaminants that have been detected in many water systems in the United States over the past 10 years. The unit consists of one designer housing that contains two filters in series. The ceramic is the first, then the chemical heavy metal filter is the second. Now, you got to understand, this is so revolutionary. It is supplied with a lever-style diverter valve and adapters to connect to a standard faucet spigot. And it's very compact. It's only 9 inches long, 4 inches wide, and 12 inches high. It only attaches to a diverter valve supplied to a standard faucet. And what does it get rid of? Well, it gets rid of so many things that no other filter I know of can. The major advantages: chemical filter that can reduce very toxic contaminants 95% or better than other filters, they cannot. Pharmaceuticals, we get rid of pharmaceutical herbicides, pesticides, heavy metals, including fluoride, lead, cadmium, chlorine at high levels. Now, testing was performed at several independent laboratories to confirm the reduction of contaminants, and we provide you with that research. And the ceramic is capable of removing parasites and bacteria at greater than 99.99%. It can remove small particles of dirt and sediment. It is cleanable. It improves bad taste and odor in water. There are two replacement filters, and the unit includes a ceramic filter and a heavy chemical metal filter. And so it is terrific on all levels. But I'm not going to have you take my word for this, because I know many of you are concerned about glyphosate and Roundup and MTBE and herbicides and nitrates that other filters can't begin to do anything with. Well, this ceramic filter is uniquely cleanable, prevents the regrowth of microorganisms trapped in the filter, and can reduce substantially these compounds I just mentioned. And it's made from food-grade, non-leachable polypropane. That's food-grade. The unit comes with two filters. And so this is how the new Garinol Slim, Twin Slim filter works to remove it. I don't know of anything else out there. If you were to look at the top 10 filters, I believe that this goes way above anything that's on the market. In fact, we have the actual laboratory testing. I have it right in front of me, the fluoride reduction, tested at water quality test labs, use municipal water, 85% reduction of fluorosalicylic acid, and at 0.8 parts per billion for 300 gallons. Chloramine reduction, tested at an ANSI lab, and 42 of 53 protocols reduced 99 reduction, lead reduction, 99% reduction. So that's what it is. But I have a water expert on the line now, Dr. Roy Spicer, graduate of a big university in Rutgers University in New Jersey in microbiology, and he's a water expert. Nice to have you with us today, Roy.
Nice to be on, Gary.
Now, you've examined all of the tests. To your knowledge, is there any home water filtration system in the United States that can exceed the standards and quality of purification of the Twin Slim water filter?
Absolutely not, Gary. As a matter of fact, I've looked at all the technology out there, reverse osmosis, carbon filters, special media, and no one has tested fluorosalicylic acid to see if it can remove it. There's no filter out there that I know that can remove fluorosalicylic acid, regardless of what they're using, and not to the level that this filter can take it out. And that's a big breakthrough, because fluoride is a neurotoxin, and they're using the more dangerous form, which is fluorosalicylic acid. Plus, the newer disinfection chemicals, chloramine, is very few filters that take it out, in addition to fluoride, and it's taking it out at a very high level. I haven't seen any filter out there that can document, laboratory testing document, 99% reduction. So just those two toxic contaminants by themselves are a breakthrough. Plus, you have a whole range of chemicals and pesticides that were tested. It was over 200 compounds that were tested with this filter at Envirotech Laboratories. I had the study in front of me, and I showed it to you, and you're getting up to, on average, 97-98% reduction of chemicals, pharmaceuticals, which are showing up in the water now. Pharmaceuticals are a big problem, especially people who are sensitive to these steroids and heart medications showing up throughout the country. 41 systems in the United States have detected pharmaceuticals. So you have all those chemicals, pharmaceuticals, fluoride, high levels of chloramine reduction, which is a newer disinfection chemical. There's no other filter system that I know of that can reduce all these contaminants to the levels that this filter system can.
I appreciate that input, Dr. Roy Spicer, one of America's leading water experts. So that's our special for today. And all of this goes to the Progressive Radio Network, the number one progressive radio network in the world. Call 877-627-5065. These are all made by hand right here in the United States. 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. And you're going to get a very special price on it, and a price that you couldn't get on anything else, even comparing, if you could find something else to compare. You're getting it for $279 for the whole thing. It gets rid of everything, and this is the brand new model. It's state-of-the-art. All the best science of water filtration is in here. If you know of a better system, by all means, buy a better system. I don't know of any better system than the Twin Slim water filter. So give a call now and get it. We until they're gone. And when they're gone, it generally takes about 3 to 4 months to get new ones because these are all handmade. So call 877-627-5065. 877-627-5065. Back in a moment. Please stay with us. Welcome all of you, I'm Gary Null. This is from The Whistleblower, and this is from Focus Autism, quote, CDC whistleblower reveals widespread manipulation of scientific data and top-down pressure on CD scientists to support the fraudulent application of government policies on vaccine safety. A top research scientist working for the CDC played a key role in helping Dr. Brian Hooker of the Focus Autism Foundation uncover data manipulation by the CDC that obscured a higher incidence of autism in African-American boys. The whistleblower came to the attention of Dr. Hooker, who's a PhD in biochemical engineering, after he had made a Freedom of Information Act request for original data on the DiStefano et al. MMR measles, mumps, rubella, and autism study. Dr. Hooker's study, published August 8th in the peer-reviewed scientific journal Translational Neurodegeneration, showed that African-American boys receiving their first MMR vaccine before 36 months of age were 340% more likely to develop autism versus after 36 months. According to Dr. Hooker, the CDC whistleblower informant guided him to evidence that a statistically significant relationship between the age of the MMR vaccine was first given and autism incident in African-American boys was hidden by CDC researchers. So, there you have it. Now, let's see what we can do. I'm bringing in one of America's top, most aggressive lawyers on class action lawsuits to see about bringing a class action lawsuit because of the fraud involved and the harm done to thousands of people. Fraudulent science. By the way, this is the same CDC that oversaw the Tuskegee experiment. From the environmental segment today, peak water. Quote, this is from NASA's Earth Observatory. If you live in the Northern Hemisphere, the past few weeks have been strange. In places where it should be reasonably hot, the eastern and southwest, eastern United States and western Europe, it was just been warm. In places where weather is usually mild, northern Europe, the Pacific coast of North America, it has been ridiculously hot. Records for high temperatures were approached or broken in Latvia, Poland, Belarus, Estonia, Lithuania, and Sweden. And searing temperatures also dried out forests and fueled wildfires in Siberia, and the U.S. and Oregon, Washington, and California, in the Canadian provinces of British Columbia, Alberta, and Northwestern Territories, and even in Sweden. At the same time, cool air moved from high northern latitudes into much of the U.S., setting record low daytime and nighttime temperatures as far as Florida and Georgia. Temperatures dropped to the winter-like levels in the mountains of Tennessee. The global temperatures continue their long-term rise on the planet, hitting high records for greenhouse gases, Arctic heat, warm ocean temperatures, and rising global sea levels. And then it goes on to talk about, speaking of the poles, the type of event that we're seeing is causing fish and ocean life to migrate into cooler waters, disrupting previous balance of ecosystems. And southern Britain is now beginning to be invaded by birds and bugs from the Mediterranean because of the abnormal hot, long summer. Across Africa, population growth and global warming are causing increasing competition for land, which is leading to increased violence across that continent. In North Atlantic, the numbers of codfish spawning are at an all-time low, and salmon in Oregon are feeling the impacts because of rivers are low, high water temperatures, and the effects of drought are combining to kill the Klamath Basin fisheries. And that's just that. On tomorrow, I'll deal with the water problems around the United States. Also, from our environmental segment today from Terra Daily, the world's primary forest on the brink. Quote, an international team of conservation scientists has published new research showing the precarious state of the world's primary forest. And the lead scientists go on to talk about how these primary forests, largely ignored by policymakers and under increasing threats. Why? Because the industrialists want to open it up to using the resources. And these are home for the world's remaining biodiverse species. So the analysis shows that almost 98% of primary forests are found in just 25 countries, with about half found in the U.S., Canada, Russia, Australia, and New Zealand. And they're saying, stop the development. Let them stay primary. And in the United States, the Koch brothers are pushing legislation to go in there and open them up for all forms of exploitation. So please push back against any form of natural forest exploitation. I'm Gary Knoll. Let's go to this tape by John Oliver. I think you will find it insightful in his own unique way of describing the events that we have seen.
Our main story tonight concerns the past week's terrible events in Missouri.
An officer shot an 18-year-old man outside an apartment complex in Ferguson, Missouri.
It is unclear at this hour what led to the shooting, but witnesses say the teenager was unarmed.
Angry confrontations between protesters and police in riot gear. The same anger and outrage that exploded into a chaotic night of looting and violence.
This whole story is depressingly familiar, and there are so many unanswered questions regarding why an officer would shoot an unarmed teenager. What is absolutely clear is that the police have handled everything since then terribly, and the tone deafness began with this.
Asked how many times Brown was shot, St. Louis County Police Chief John Belmar said,
it was more than just a couple, but I don't think it was many more than that.
Just think about what he's saying there. Not much more than twice. Could you try and minimize this anymore? Look, listen, everyone. Only very many more than one bullet was fired, so everybody calm down, shall we? The police then refused for days to release the name of the officer involved, and when they eventually did, they packaged it with a DVD extra that no one wanted.
At the same time, they released video of Michael Brown allegedly carrying out a store robbery minutes before he was shot and killed. And that has sparked new outrage.
Yeah, of course it has, because it's irrelevant. If the police wanted to distract everyone with a video that has absolutely nothing to do with Michael Brown shooting, they should have just released Ghostbusters instead. It's exactly as relevant to everything that happened afterwards. But the more the week went on, the more you got the sense that those in charge in Ferguson don't have the best sense of how their community feels. Just listen to the mayor.
We've never seen this kind of violence. We've never seen this kind of frustration or tension between the races. I've always been proud to say that to people. I know we've always gotten along, and I know our community still gets along very well.
Oh, we're absolutely famous for it. Presumably, that is why I, the mayor of Ferguson, am currently on national fucking television. Presumably, we're talking about how well our town is getting along right now, and always has. The thing is, if you ask around in Ferguson, you get a slightly different story.
The cops harassment is frequently. It's all through the day. It's all through the night. Then they not beating us physically. They doing it verbally.
Here's the thing the mayor doesn't understand. As a general rule, no one should ever be allowed to say there is no history of racial tension here, because that sentence has never been true anywhere on Earth. Even in Antarctica. Even in Antarctica, there is tension between emperor penguins and Gen 2 penguins. F*** you, Gen 2 penguins, flapping over here, stealing our fish. Not you, chinstrap penguins, you're cool. You guys are good at math. So, which one of these two men is right about what life as a young African-American in Ferguson is like? Well, to answer that, let's look at the police force. What does it look like in a town which is about two-thirds African-American?
What is the makeup of your police force, the number, and how many of them are white? I just want clarification of that.
They keep saying three are African-American, but I actually believe it's five. There was six, but one left fairly recently. We also have a Hispanic and two Asian Pacific Islanders.
Exactly. Look, it doesn't stop there, guys. We got a couple of white guys who occasionally listen to hip-hop music. I mean, Macklemore, sure, but still. Also, we have six Norwegian-Americans who really enjoyed The Lion King on Broadway. So it's not it's more diverse than it seems. But despite the presence of both of the Pacific Islanders and, of course, the Hispanic, let's not forget him, the Ferguson police do seem to target minorities.
86% of police stops are African Americans, 92% of police searches, nearly 93% of arrests.
Even though they stopped more blacks, more whites had contraband.
Yeah, of course more whites had contraband. They knew that if you look like this, you don't get stopped. If you are white in Ferguson, you would need to be snorting cocaine directly off your dashboard to get stopped by the police. Whereas, if you're an African-American in Ferguson, like, say, Henry Davis here, you may have a slightly different experience. Because while in custody in the Ferguson jail in 2009, officers grabbed him and pushed him and struck him multiple times. They say they were provoked, although, oddly, there is no video of this incident, despite the fact the jail is equipped with video cameras. And what is known, though, at this point, is that he was later charged with four counts of destruction of city property for bleeding on their uniforms. And I've got to say, he was lucky that he wasn't eating spaghetti at the time of his beating, or they would have upgraded that charge to a felony. And that is just the local police. The county police also have had their share of problems.
A St. Louis County police lieutenant is without a job tonight. He was fired for allegedly ordering patrol officers to arrest black people shopping in South County.
Oh, it wasn't just that he ordered racial profiling. It was how he allegedly did it, with his colleagues claiming that he said things like, "Let's have a black day," and "Let's make the jail cells more colourful." Now, let's be fair here. "Let's have a black day" is an awesome thing to say if you are Shaft. And "Let's make the jail cells more colourful" is entirely appropriate if you're an interior designer with a folder full of paint swatches. However, if you're a white police officer, it's not ideal to say either of those, which is not to say that all cops are bad. They are clearly not. Also, the people of Ferguson want and need an effective police force. But perhaps their relationship was best summed up by this photo from earlier this week. Not just ludicrously aggressive police facing off against an unarmed man, but also the fact that someone has clearly written "F*** the police" on the post box. Something that apparently CNN did not notice when they were using this photo during all of their coverage. So, they didn't see it. Now, you might also notice in that photo that the police are troublingly dressed like they're about to launch an assault on Fallujah. Well, it turns out that is no coincidence.
Since 1996, in response to the war on drugs, the Department of Defense transferred $4.3 billion in military equipment to local and state police. After 9/11, the Department of Homeland Security made additional equipment available to local law enforcement through federal funds for terrorism prevention.
That's right. And this has happened on such a scale that it's enabled small towns like Keene, New Hampshire, to apply for a Bearcat, a military-grade armoured personnel truck, which they needed because, as their application argued, the terrorism threat is far-reaching and often unforeseen, and cited as a possible target their annual pumpkin festival. specifically this.
And you can hear the remaining 5 minutes of that John Oliver piece by going to our Facebook page or ProgressiveRadarNetwork.com, or we'll post it under blog.garynull.com. Interesting, yesterday in China, it was reported that there were 55,000 protests in the last 12 months, 500 per day, all over the country. And we never get this information. And in one case, and the photographs are up on the internet of this, a police officer was beating an innocent person and with four other comrades, and the citizens just took after the police and got him and nailed him. And, I mean, really, really nailed them. You'll see it. It's rather bloody. And we don't hear a word about that. So when are we going to see the average people, the average American, educated class, wealthier class, upper middle class class, the retired class, the productive working class? When are we going to see them stand up against fascism and police brutality and the militarization of what is happening in America? Ferguson is unique, but in the future I see that the big flashpoints where it's really going to get bad, where it'll be out of control, is when they're going to do something with a white person and in the poor working class, and then you're going to have a whole lot of people responding. I believe that that's coming in the near future. I wish it wouldn't come. I don't want to see anyone hurt from any position. But you have an out-of-control oligarchy. You have people in power who don't care about anything except the rewards of their power. And we're reaching a tipping point. I want to thank you for listening. I'm Gary Noll. Look forward to sharing more on our next program. Have a nice day. Now in studio New York is Luann Panessi. Hi, Luann.
Hello, Gary. I was reading today an article, very sad. One of the things that we forget when we're bombing places like Gaza is that there are not only are we destroying human lives and homes, but there was also a zoo in Gaza that was part of the airstrikes. And you figure with more than 2,000 people killed and many homes destroyed in the recent fighting there, most of the people in Gaza and the international community have more pressing problems than the plight of the zoo animals. But there were lions, crocodiles, monkeys, and birds who survived the hostilities at the zoo. They're surrounded by dead carcasses and now face the danger of succumbing to hunger and disease in the aftermath of this man-made war. Very sad. I mean, my feeling has always been that we're stewards of this planet and we're responsible for looking after the animals that we hold in captivity. And this is just one more thing that the main media never talks about. It's bad enough that they're not talking about these families that were destroyed, that this may have been their only form of amusement was to go to a zoo and see the animals. The animals are hungry, and they're sick, and they need help. And it's very, very sad to see this.
We saw the same thing in the Afghan War, where the oldest lion that I'm aware of on the planet lived until it died, because no one was paying attention to the animals. Every day, I try to put up multiple listings showing the uniqueness of animals, the love of animals, and what we can learn from them. And you're right. I saw some of those photographs early this morning, and it was sad, because the animal doesn't have anything to say so about the nature of the conflict. They're merely the victims of it. Thank you for bringing that to our attention, Luann.
Okay.
And we have photographs that up on the website. Let's now say hello to Utrice Lead. Hi, Utrice.
Hello, Gary. Today we're talking about problems in the Eric Garner and Michael Brown cases, and international security scholar Nafiz Ahmed discusses the Islamist insurgency and U.S.-UK intervention.
Good. I hope that at some point when you're discussing the Brown issue, they keep reporting that he robbed the store. Well, first, it doesn't show that he robbed. It showed that he may have taken an item from the store and was belligerent and non-responsive in giving it back. That's not going in with a gun and robbing a store. So it's how they're framing the words on this. And also, let's just say he took something. He took an item out of there. All right, that was wrong. And he should be held accountable for that. But since when do we get to a point in America where a policeman can become both the judge, jury, and executioner without any due process? And this has happened thousands of times. And that should be addressed. Look forward to hearing your show.
Thanks.
Utrice Lead right now.
I've heard people say that too much of anything is not good for you, baby. But I don't know about that.